Our guest, he is the executive director of the North Dakota Republican Party. Jason, good to have you in studio.
Joe, it's good to be here. Thanks for letting me come on.
I want to talk a little bit about what's going on nationwide. My take was clear. I gave it. You sent me an email saying, hey, there's another view to this. Get me on. I want to talk about it. You know you're welcome in here now anytime. And I mean that. You're welcome to give your view anytime on this. What do you think is going on? Why are we under a government shutdown?
Well, one of the biggest problems that we have with the way the federal government's been operating is we've been just jumping from crisis to crisis on this budget funding. Now, the Senate hasn't, we haven't passed a appropriation bill or a budget bill. The Senate finally did a budget resolution earlier this year. So we've been going on these continuing resolutions. Now, when you do that, you're putting yourself in a position every 6 months or every 9 months, whatever the term of it is, to reach this deadline and have to come to some massive conclusion. Now, in considering this one, because we haven't had a broader budget conversation, the House wanted to bring up some other pieces. Notably, they attached Obamacare to it. Now, the Senate rejected that, and I can see that. They have the votes to reject a full repeal of Obamacare. That's fine. But what you have now is an unwillingness on the part of the Senate to negotiate anything. And the president's flat out said, well, we're not going to negotiate anything. Now, that's not the way our system and our government is set up to work. If you're going to reject it, well, then come back. What will work? What can we do to increase government? Because the House has made now three very reasonable offers, taking provisions that have had Democrat support, not only in the House, but in the Senate in the past, and attach those to this bill. And they've got nowhere.
All dealing with Obamacare.
Dealing with pieces of Obamacare.
Right. Exactly. So, and Obamacare was litigated. It was debated. Yep. It was, and it is the law of the land. We both, I know, can agree on that. But we also can agree that your party made it the poster child of why to elect Republicans last election, and you still lost.
Yep. And you lost
the presidency, you lost seats in the Senate, and you did lose seats in the House, although you still control the House. I understand that.
Yep.
So the point is, if you're Barack Obama, why would you give up Obamacare to a debate on the debt ceiling?
Look, because these provisions that the House has put in there in their subsequent offers, I mean, they made four offers while the Senate was taking no action whatsoever. They included the repeal of the medical device tax. Now, that passed in the Senate budget resolution with 33 votes from Democratic senators. That's a compromise kind of a piece. You know, take or leave these other pieces or a full repeal. If you don't want to go that far, fine. Where are you going to go? This is a piece that's had support on both the House side and the Senate side. And the Senate simply wouldn't take action. They tabled the bill.
Because they don't think it's part of the debt ceiling. Don't believe it's part of that issue.
Sure.
Now, you can say, look, this is how the process works. This is how you can bring your issue forward.
In the absence of having a broader debate on appropriation bills and actually having the Senate Majority Leader bring something to the floor, when are you going to have this conversation?
The budget, now, come on. The Senate passed the budget. Patty Murray 18 times asked for conferees to a committee to deal with the budget that you did pass, that Paul Ryan passed in the House, get in a room, hammer out the deals on a budget. She was rejected 18 times by the House of Representatives. And then once the House of Representatives here in the final hours before this government shutdown said, no, we will come to a budget meeting now because we know how this will play out. Ted Cruz, by rule, which you explain this rule to me, Jason, one guy becomes somebody we honor on Easter. I mean, Ted Cruz now, you know, is somebody that comes in and says that he blocks conferees going to a budget hearing. I mean, how does one guy, number one, get that kind of power? Number two, that's who stopped Patty Murray's committee, the budget committee, from, and this is true. This is documented even by John McCain from your own party who went ballistic on this.
Mm-hmm.
So explain this to me.
I personally can't stand by anything that's actually going to, you know, stop somebody from appointing conferees and going into that process, because that's a process that we should have. Now, fair turnabout, I guess, the Senate now, after the House yesterday has said that, well, let's have conferees on this continuing resolution. So let's hammer out the deals there, come to something that we can both support, do all this negotiating, you know, in conference committee the way we've been designed to do, pass this continuing resolution. Now, the Senate hasn't done that. So I guess the turnabout is fair play.
Well, except that we're past the bewitching hour, right? I mean, this should have been done, and it should have started a long time ago.
But you know what? It did start a long time ago from the House side. But the House did their first continuing resolution on September 20th.
Patty Murray, for the last year, tried to work out a budget. She tried to work out a budget for the last year. Right? She went to the House, said, you've got your budget, we've got our budget, let's get to conference on this. The House 18 times rejected appointing conference committee members. Same thing's happening with the Farm Bill.
Yeah.
Same thing's happening with the Farm Bill.
Just really quick, I believe that it's the intent of the speaker to appoint those conferees to the combined Farm Bill later this week. So that should be moving forward in the process. One thing on the budget
but
resolution.
Again, it's lapsed now. The Farm Bill is shut down. I mean, right? I mean, that should have been done months ago when your chairman, Chairman Lucas, but to his credit, came out with a bipartisan bill, said, don't mess with this bill. His quote exactly, I can find you the quote,
yep.
Said, let's do this thing. Let's get a Farm Bill passed. This has never been a partisan issue. And Eric Cantor and Kevin Cramer stripped those bill of its amendments, blew up and separated out the SNAP program, and boom, all of a sudden
they only separated out the SNAP program, put it into two bills after they got zero Democrat support on the other side. Now, Colin Peterson, when they talked about how many Democrat votes they were going to get, well, and that's part of the Democratic process. If those amendments are going to go on the House floor, that happens. Now, okay. The House found a way to get those two pieces passed, and now we're going to move forward.
I got you on late, and I want to give you as much time as we can. Plus, I'm having fun. So let's do this some more. Ponder this one in the meantime. I don't want to hit you with this out of total surprise. Well, wait a second. I am going to hit you with that surprise. Shauna, what's going on in the markets?
USDA is not announcing export sales during the government shutdown, but demand for U.S. wheat is likely to stay active, according to last week's cold weather we had in Argentina, and also too much rain in the Ukraine and southern Russia. We have December corn down one at 437. Minneapolis wheat December up seven at 740.
Lars is our guest. He's the executive director of the North Dakota Republican Party. We were talking, and we were having a spirited debate about, you know, what was the cause of the shutdown of the government. Jason can hold his own just fine. I want to let people know we'll share time. We will. I'm getting a bunch of messages saying, hey, let some other people on with you guys to ask both of you questions. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. But Jason, I told you I was going to throw this at you during the break, so I'm not hitting you out of surprise with this. But, you know, here's my analogy, and then you can tell me where I'm right or wrong. The Republicans are making the Affordable Health Care Act or Obamacare the mantle for their debate on shutting down the government. They've taken different versions, said we're going to delay it a year. We're going to cut the funding for it. I get all that. You hate Obamacare, but you lost it. You lost it in the election. You lost it in the Supreme Court. You lost it in another election. That's our position on the Democratic side on that. Let me throw a scenario at you. What if the Senate Democrats had looked at you and said, look, in order to get you as House Republicans to go along with a continuing resolution to actually fund the government so we don't shut it down, you have to agree to immigration reform. Or you have to agree to cutting the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy. Things that we can't stand. I mean, what if we made those conditions?
Well, and just the fact that the Senate took what the House sent over and rejected it, but then offered something else. In my mind, that would be an improvement right there. Just the fact that they're willing to negotiate on something. So I'd welcome that opportunity to have some of those conversations. The other piece I think that is different is everything that the House has put on to these subsequent offers has been something that's gotten voted on or has gotten Democrat support in the Senate. You know, the repeal of the medical device tax, they got 33 Democrat votes in the budget resolution process. So these are things,
I think
that are viable.
You could do another day.
Yeah,
but they don't believe it's part of this.
But when's it going to happen another day? It's the Senate budget process is broken. They brought one appropriation
That's
bill to the
true.
Floor in the last 2 years.
They offered 18 times to go to conference with you, Jason. I mean, they offered 18 times, and your leader never once put a conference committee to meet with
and
them.
We should be flat out having those conversations. It's the way our system works.
Okay, we agree on that.
We should be doing that. Okay. At the same time, I think, and you can ask him, I think you're going to have him in later, Senator Conrad,
yeah.
When they were passing the Budget Control Act, which is the law of the land, similar to how the Obamacare is the law of the land, as we've heard so much in the last couple of days. Budget Control Act is the law of the land, and yet the Senate budget resolution spent multitudes of money more than what that Budget Control Act was. So if something's the law of the land, that doesn't mean it's not open to reform. In fact, I think Heidi during the – I'm sorry, Senator Heidkamp.
She's Heidi.
Okay, fair enough.
Just call me Ed.
Exactly. Yeah. Senator Heidkamp, during a debate with Berg last fall when we're talking about Obamacare, she flat out said, well, there's good and there's bad in it, and I don't see any reason not to take a look at certain pieces of it. And that's what the House Republicans are doing here. They're saying, look, we have some bipartisan agreement on certain provisions of Obamacare that we want to take another look at.
I think there are things about Obamacare they're going to need fixing. And it's going to need bipartisan look at it to fix it. I acknowledge that. That isn't the premise of my argument. The premise of my argument is we're about to default on debt. October 17th, we are a country that doesn't pay its bills. And so to use this hostage to have that debate, when that debate has been had many times over, and you know where those Tea Party members are at, which is extraction and elimination of Obamacare, they've lost. They lost.
Well, look, on the debt ceiling that's coming up on October 17th, that's going to get wrapped into this before it goes too long. And that's something we simply can't.
Well, you're peeling away now.
You simply can't do anything.
Your members, though, are peeling away now. You saw that. You saw it on TV last night. You've got congressional members. You've got members of the Senate that are Republican, members of the House that are Republican. They're throwing their arms up, tired of this Tea Party crap, and saying, listen, this isn't me. I don't agree with them. This is bad political strategy.
But you'll remember there's two pieces we're talking about here. One is the budget resolutions. That is the framework for spending of the federal government. That's separate from the debt ceiling, which is basically all of our past overspending coming home to roost. Now, we have to pay those bills, yes.
Deficit's been cut in half since the stimulus.
And we need to cut it further. We're still borrowing 40 cents out of every dollar that we have, and that's going to take some form of conversation.
Made some gains.
And those are the conversations that aren't happening in the House and the Senate.
Let's get local about it, because you've got two different people that you represent as executive of your party as well. You've got John Hoeven, very respected, and then you've got Kevin Cramer, who's basically aligned himself with the Tea Party. I mean, that's what's happened. Now, in fairness to you, Kevin Cramer never once came to your party and asked for its endorsement for Congress this last time. He went around your party, and he went directly to the primary, and he did what the Tea Party is known to do, which is to circumvent that local party organization. So I'm not going to put ownership on it with you there. But what I will tell you is this: John Hoeven and Heidi Heitkamp have both said they will not take pay during this government shutdown, that while families that are work for the government are not receiving pay, it's not right for them to. Kevin Cramer said, I'm taking the pay. Is that right?
I don't know Kevin's financial situation. I mean, he's obviously out there working. He's doing his job out there. Now,
these people are ready to work.
I think they should be. I want to get them back to work as we possibly can.
Yeah.
The thing is that we need to have House and Senate members out there with staff sufficient to make these conversations, to go to conference on the resolution or do other things that are going to come
to a deal.
Jason,
that isn't what I asked.
And he's going to work.
Let me ask it to you this way. If you were in that position in Congress, would you take the pay?
Well, this is where I bring my wife in to talk about how much money she spends, and I might be forced to. But
we're not going
to
talk about the doc note, Jason. We're not going to talk about that.
I'd have a hard time taking that pay personally.
Okay.
There is a job that needs to be done. But don't pretend for a second that Kevin isn't working for the next week.
I'm not saying he's not working.
A solution. So
but I'm also
working,
think John Hoeven and Heidi Heitkamp are working. What I'm saying is he's willing to shut down the government, but he's also willing to take the pay while others aren't. And that isn't right.
Well, at least in Heidi's willingness to shut down the government, she's not getting paid for it.
Well,
that's fair. She still made the choice to shut it down.
I'll let you get the last shot in on that one. Let's go to Marty. Marty, you're on with Jason Flores. Go ahead.
Well, good morning.
Yes.
First of all, I hope Jason's wife isn't listening to that comment he just made about her. But, I hear you defending Representative Cramer and this shutdown. And I am so angry about this. I'm for healthy debate on issues. I really am. But I'm so sick and tired of these partisan politics going on. And, I just have to ask you, how can you possibly defend what Representative Cramer is doing along with these Tea Party Republicans? They're taking milk away from babies in our WIC program. Very, very important program for the health of our population. And, Representative Cramer, he was an honorary chair of our honor flights in North Dakota. And here we have World War II veterans going to Washington, making this trek, waiting and waiting to see this memorial. And they're showing up and being turned away. How can you defend that? How can you defend? I mean, that's what you're doing. You're defending the shutdown of our government. And I'd like to ask you, how can you stand up? How could you face a World War II veteran or a mother with a baby who isn't going to get formula today? What do you say to them?
Okay, thanks, Marty. Jason.
Sure. The first thing is the House has, in the last 24 hours, they've introduced a couple of bills for certain landmarks for veterans, for the memorial in D.C., and some National Guard pay. They've introduced those bills. They brought it up yesterday under a speedy process that required a bigger majority. They didn't pass because they had zero Democrat support for those. They're going to bring it up again.
They didn't get all the Republican votes for that.
No.
Right?
And they're going to bring it up again
so
today.
Marty's
and it's
right
only going
about
to be
that.
It's only going to be a simple majority.
But they got Michelle Bachmann tearing down barriers.
Well, I mean, that's good to have her out. The other thing I want to be clear about is I think that's
a good way to put it.
I don't want to be put in a position where you're saying I'm defending a shutdown. What I'm saying is that the House made valid, honest, reasonable efforts to make changes to a law that they wanted to see changes to that has had Democrat support in the past. The Senate rejected it flat out and put back no other offer to avoid a shutdown. The House started in one position and moved four different times toward more of a middle ground, more of a common sense kind of an approach, making changes that senators on both sides of the aisle has said these are things that we should consider. And the Senate simply rejected them flat out.
Okay, so let's get to Bill. Bill, you're on with Jason Flores. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple points. The reason the Democrats won't quote-unquote negotiate with the Republicans is because they put a gun to the Democrats' head and said, defund Obamacare, we're going to shut down government. You don't negotiate like that. The other thing, on this budget, the Senate passed a budget, the House passed a budget, the House wouldn't send conferees to a committee to iron out the differences because that would require compromise. Plus, they'd have to show their hand. They have all these spending cuts they've been talking about for years. Now they have to show what they're going to cut, and they'd be draconian cuts that the people of the country would just be shocked by.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Jason, your response to that.
Sure, the first piece, you know, he's talking about holding a gun to the Democrats' head. Again, these weren't obscure, outlandish types of things that the House was attaching. Certainly, you can expect them the first time around to say, all right, defund Obamacare. You know, send that over. The Senate sent that one back. You know, all right, that's where we expect the votes to lie based on the breakdown of the parties. But after that, again, it was pieces and provisions that had already gotten Democrat support on both sides of the aisle in both bodies that they put. Putting those kind of provisions in is hardly a gun to the head. And where was the Senate's response? Where was the Senate saying, all right, no, we're not going to do this, but let's talk about this instead. Let's talk about some other form
of
spending instead.
They were pretty verbal that they were not going to defund Obamacare. I mean, 41 times, or it's actually more than 41 now. Yeah. Kevin Cramer's been there and voted on it three times since then to eliminate the Affordable Health Care Act. At what point does it sink in that after you didn't win back control of the Senate and the president has made it perfectly clear that the Affordable Health Care Act will go forward, that Obamacare will go forward? At what point does the people that you're talking about get the fact that they're not going to negotiate on that? That's not going to be a negotiation. If you want to talk about budgets, where to cut here and there, you know, they're not going to take that centerpiece of what Barack Obama achieved away.
Yep. Hey, Joel, if I was out there, you know, running things myself, would I have started off with a defund that I knew wasn't going to work? No. But these other pieces, I mean, we've talked and agreed there's work that needs to be done on this Obamacare. It obviously wasn't ready for prime time yesterday. The president's already made multiple.
Some could say that half the problem they had was how many hits they were getting on the website.
It's very possible.
But you're right. There were some technical glitches.
And the president multiple times has made the same kind of delays that the House Republicans were asking for. They asked for a delay on the individual mandate. Well, the president already arbitrarily and unilaterally himself said, well, we're going to delay this mandate for small business, but we're not going to do it for individuals. The House had a bill over the course of the summer to delay it for individuals, and Democrats supported it. Now, it didn't pass, but they got Democrat votes for it.
But that's because timing-wise, you really don't have, you know, what's going on in terms of what the sign-up is for individuals until you know it. I mean, nobody knew it. Nobody knew they were going to get besieged yesterday. I want to bring in some sound here, and I don't want you to go until you get a chance to respond to this, because I want to play it one way or another, and I don't think it's fair for me to play it once you're in your car.
I appreciate
you say,
that, Joel.
Well, why didn't you do it? So let's get to Terry Spies and get a really quick weather forecast. Republican Party. Jason, I want you to listen to this sound clip of a meeting that and it's on YouTube. You can go find it, that Congressman Kevin Cramer had earlier. I want you to just listen to this clip of what he said with a Coffee with Cramer meeting.
My commitment is to do everything I can to succeed in repealing as much, if not all, of Obamacare. And thank you. And that is the will of the North Dakota public, is the will of the American public. That said, it is the law of the land, and so what I want to say to you is, I want to fight smart. I don't want to fight just for the sake of a fight. I want to fight for the sake of a victory. If holding off the continuing resolution can be successful, count me in. I'm not so sure about that, but and we can talk about it. Shortly after the continuing resolution will be the debt ceiling. That's another opportunity where, remember, I serve in the majority in the House of Representatives, but that's not the majority in the Senate, and that's not the party in control of the White House. So when you have one-third, so to speak, of the power, all budget issues start in the House, but they end in the Senate. So if 60 senators would go along with us, you'd have 234 votes to defund Obamacare just like that. Absent of that, we have to be strategic and smart about it. And that's why when I threw out all those other issues, you guys, like immigration reform, entitlement reform, comprehensive tax reform, when we come down to a deadline like this, a lot of things can get thrown into the negotiating hopper. I realize Obamacare is number one for you. And it's number one for a lot of people, but when you start putting that against other priorities, it becomes a little bit more challenging. So, we'll talk about that. I would also say this, you realize if we don't pass a continuing resolution, the government shuts down. Now some things will continue to be, yeah, good. Chuck says good. Well, it's always good for about a day, but it gets less good day by day, if you know what I'm saying.
So what changed between then and now with Congressman Kramer?
I'm not sure. In fact, I think I was at that meeting that he recorded that audio at. And so I, you know, heard the full context of it. And I'm not sure that anything has changed in that.
But he seemed to understand the ramifications long-term of shutting the government down.
Yep.
I mean, and he seemed to acknowledge that in a crowd that, as you heard from Chuck, shut it down, shut it down, burn the house down. But, you know, he had the courage to stand up to Chuck and say, no, long-term, that isn't, I mean, that's what I heard in his voice.
But that's what you see coming from the House Republicans now, is that, all right, they had their symbolic, we're going to send the defund over there. Maybe you're trying to appease some folks on the far right by doing that. Senate rejected it and sent it back. So what have they done since then? They've taken pieces that have bipartisan support. They've attached those on, taken those strategic ways. All right, we're not going to talk about the whole thing anymore. We're talking about delaying the individual mandate, just like the president did for business. We're talking about repealing a job-killing, especially for listeners in Minnesota, a job-killing medical device tax, which already got 33 votes in the Senate from Democrats previously, and they're attaching those. So like the previous caller said, that's not a gun to a head. That's not a change. That's a strategic way.
By tying it to funding the government, you basically... Now, listen to this quote, and then give me your take on this. Aim, play that number two quote from Kevin Kramer there, would you? It's a lot shorter.
If they call our bluff, so to speak, and shut down the government, the vast majority of Obamacare still is the law of the land. It's mandatory. So we don't, by shutting down the government, we don't shut down Obamacare.
Boom. Yeah. He gets it. Yeah. I mean, but yet he still did it. So why?
But because some of these changes need to be made. Some of these changes to Obamacare need to be made. Senator Heitkamp said that a year ago.
He called it a bluff. And it was, these people are not going to bite into the bluff.
Well, I think he was using an expression there because obviously it wasn't a bluff by the House to go to this, but they've given real reasonable alternatives that and tied those to continuing resolution to move government forward.
Jason, I get all the time in the world to talk on here. I've got 1 minute to go. Your final statements.
Well, I just want to, you know, make it clear. This government shutdown is unacceptable in every way, shape, and form. We should not be shut down. We've had a long time to deal with this. Part of the problem is long-term spending, overspending continually that have put us in this situation yet again. But the House has acted. They've taken reasonable steps and put them in the Senate's camp and said, hey, take a look at this or at least send us back something else. The Senate has refused to act. They slow played the clock. They ran the ball in the fourth quarter to run out the clock. Nothing got done. They're going to have to come together and get it done, and especially before the debt ceiling increase comes up. That has to get done.
Next big deadline everybody's got to keep in mind is October 17th. All right. Jason, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Thanks for getting your side of the issue out there. When we come back, former United States Congressman Kent Conrad, right after this.